Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights, a monthly podcast where we talk to industry leaders about key issues, trends, legislative initiatives, and association news that affects all of us who serve the construction, industrial, and MRO markets. Sit back now and enjoy as we learn together.
Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights. Today we're visiting with John Mesenbrink, who is the force behind mechanicalhub.com website. And that's mechanical-hub.com. John, thanks for taking time to catch up with us today.
Yeah, sure, John. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I certainly applaud what you guys have done, the Sunhalter Group, what you guys are doing in the trade industry. So thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Well, it's been a while since you and I really connected from a podcast. You were one of our first ones several years ago. And the last time that you and I talked, you were just in the stages of putting the Mechanical Hub website together. It's come a long way since then. Over the years, I'm amazed as the content that you've got on that site now. So let's maybe talk about the site, and maybe you can highlight some of the areas that your readers are utilizing the most as a starter.
Sure. Well, thanks for that intro. That was great. You know, we've certainly come a long way since the last time we did this. We're going into our fifth year now, and I'm happy to say that we've grown every year, and we're really proud of our social media outlets as well. We try to educate and inform and have a little fun along the way. For those that aren't aware, Mechanical Hub is an online resource for plumbing, mechanical, HVAC, and hydronics contractors and professionals. And we have a lot of different things that we do on the site. Last year, we launched our on-site video series, which we take a professional video crew to a contractor site, and we do a bunch of short videos, probably 3 minutes in length, but we had a great reception on the video. We did one locally in Wisconsin, actually, here, and, you know, the video had received 40,000 views within, like, the first couple days, so we were really proud of that.
Wow.
We're excited to announce the launch of our Pro Staff program. This program features 21 plumbing, HVAC, and hydronics contractors from across the country who will conduct product and tool reviews. They will provide honest, unbiased opinions of a product being reviewed. So it could be a product or a tool, first to market, or perhaps to pump some new blood or some new life into an existing product. So we're really proud about that. It's underway currently, and we plan to fully launch the campaign for 2017. So some interesting things and some cool stuff, and you know, we wake up every day and we're happy about our jobs, and you know, we've been together for 5 years and we're sticking to it, and we're doing great. So thanks for that. No, thanks for asking, John.
Not a problem. From a practicality standpoint, again, you get the ins and outs of new technology and new products long before the contractors do sometimes. What's new on the integrating of any kind of latest technology and products in the field? Can you share any of those kind of stories with us?
Oh, sure. You know, when I go to trade shows, probably within the last couple of years, I mean, it's pretty evident, you know, HVAC, boilers, thermostats, they're all becoming connected either wirelessly or, you know, through the Internet. So I think that's a big thing, is that they're all talking to each other. You can access your boiler, for instance, remotely, or a tool, for that matter. You can be off a job site and program a tool to act as you want it to, or to secure it on a job site. If someone steals it, there's an alarm that could go off. So there's a lot of exciting things. You know, we have two of our industry's biggest trade shows coming up, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. But these shows are offer the latest and greatest in new products and technology. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we get lost in the minutia of a new product. And instead, try thinking about how the product fits in or how it complements the mechanical system to complete the overall design. For example, like geothermal, hydronics, and VRF, variable refrigerant flow, are all kind of trending HVAC methods, but kind of understanding how the components integrate with one another, you know, from like heat pumps or pipe sizing or, you know, circulator demand, it all needs to be considered. And not to mention the big picture, for instance, you know, the building envelope, the site orientation, you know, daylighting and solar gain can all mix into the equation of, you know, how you design your building as it relates to like your HVAC and mechanical system. Mm-hmm. But going back to integration, a trending thing for the past couple of years now has been IoT or the Internet of Things. This is especially important for, you know, individual components to be connected and to communicate with each other rather than being disparate systems. We now have a more intelligent communicative system, or better yet, building. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying before, like these systems like Nest, Honeywell has systems, like thermostat systems that talk to each other, talk to the contract. It just becomes a smarter, more integrated system. So it's about sending and receiving data through network connectivity.
Some of these videos that you've been doing, I'm assuming if these new technologies integrations haven't been already done, I'm assuming that down the road that they'll be part of the video series as to how.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There'll be some things like that, how to videos, things like that. I just wanted to go back as far as the IoT. I mean, you can, an example of that. You know, there's talk about putting sensors in buildings, you know, plumbing and piping infrastructure. So if there's a leak, it'll notify you, you know, immediately, or notify the building owner. So, you know, the loss of valuable water within the building isn't lost, and you know, we could repair that problem as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, with all this technology coming now too, I guess a topic that we've had several discussions over the years on, and it's not going away anytime soon, that's the shortage of skilled workers. I talk to contractors all the time, and they're not worried about getting jobs. They're worried about getting good people to get the jobs done.
Get the jobs done
right the first time.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. You know, as far as getting people interested in the trades, I always contend that it starts in your living room with your parents and talking about, you know, the future and saying it's okay to be in the trade, you know, first and foremost, instead of like this path of, you know, always leading them to college. And you know, to be honest, that's kind of how my path was. I had six other brothers and sisters that, you know, when I, you know, they're older than me, and when I looked at their path, I'm like, okay, this is what I just... Yeah, I need to do. I got to go to college, right? But looking back, most of my friends and after college roommates were in the trades, and I never really gave it thought. But you know, they live good lives, you know, good benefits. You know, they're very happy in what they do, and it's not always this fallback, you know, career that kind of is. It's kind of the stigma that exists within the industry. But again, I mean, that's a million-dollar question. There are many reports out there and info from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that impending skilled labor shortage within the next 5 to 10 years, millions of jobs that nobody wants, right? So I think the average age of the contractor is 52 years of age, and that means these people will be tiring eventually, and who will be filling the void?
Yeah.
I see... I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, I just, I see conversations on our site and in chat rooms and in private social media groups. You know, there's a lot, like you said before, there are plenty of bodies to fill these positions, but, you know, are they qualified, and how do you get them to stay? You know, first of all, we need to promote the industry as a viable career choice and not some fallback plan, like I said, when all else failed. You know, great pay, great benefits, no student loan debt. You know, in fact, I recall Dirty Jobs' Mike Rowe, who has been a crusader for the trade, telling a story of how he was in a guidance counselor's office and he saw a poster that said something like, you know, work smarter, not harder. And it shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't it be both? I mean, one of Mike's quotes also is, you know, we're lending money. We don't have the kids who can't pay it back to train them for jobs that no longer exist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't offshore plumbing and heating jobs, that's for sure.
No, that is for sure, too. And, it's you made a comment earlier about these kids think that these are not sexy jobs, but you were talking about the latest technology and the interfacing. And, I mean,
yeah,
you can use a lot of those computer skills there and
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know.
And, you know, and they stigma exists. You know, you think of a plumber and he's just, you know, that's a dirty job and he works hard. But these are some of the smartest people I've come across, the most engaging, you know, most intelligent people you would ever come across. And they need, you know, mathematical skills. You know, they need analytical skills. I mean, all the skills. Like you said, and you know, with new technology and you know, bringing mobile technology to the job site, just I think, you know, it does create a more, you know, a quote unquote sexier image of the industry.
I tell a story that I used to belong to a country club for a number of years, and I didn't get to play golf that often, but every time I was out there, the electrical contractor, the plumbing contractor, and the mechanical contractors were all always out at the country club. So I mean, it's like, okay, what's wrong with this picture? I mean,
were they all getting along?
Yeah, they were playing golf together more so than not. But again, yeah, they're very well paying jobs, and I haven't seen a survey in the last year or so as far as salary goes, but like for plumbers, electricians, I mean, once you get through a program, these guys can make $25 an hour. And to your point, they can't outsource those jobs. I mean, I question the education system today, for a whole bunch of reasons, but you know, when we were in high school, when I was in high school, they had vo-ed classes to get kids. You know, they've taken those away. So, yes, there are some vo-ed schools, but again, they're far and few between, it's an ongoing problem. But you're right, down the road, no college debt. These guys can be girls can be earning money.
Well, they get paid for their apprenticeships too. You know, they're not just working for free. So they're actually getting paid. So I mean, it's a scalable thing from year one to make good money, good living, good benefits. So it's all there. But a couple of things I wanted to say about you know, what contractors need to be doing. One is just offer as much training as you can. It can never be enough, really. I mean, it's better to train your employees with the possibility of them leaving for a competitor than not training them at all and having them stay. That means, you know, basically it's important to invest in your employees through education and training. And secondly, how to deal with millennials. It's an interesting thing. I attended a seminar earlier this year that talked to this point, and it was a millennial talking about, and it was a room full of about 1,000 contractors, and he was talking about how they should really cater their business structure, I guess, toward these millennials. So basically, it's a new breed of worker coming into the workforce, and we need to gain a better understanding of how they work, what makes them tick, and how to motivate them. Could be a key in, you know, employee productivity moving down the road.
I was at one of those seminars too, a year and a half ago, from an association that put it on, and they were going through the four or five different scenarios from an HR perspective as to, you know, the guys that are 55 plus, here's what motivates them, and all the way down to to the millennials, and they put the features and benefits, if you will, by each one of those groups, and they couldn't be more than 180 degrees difference in what motivates a millennial.
You're right.
It's just unbelievable.
You're right. You should have seen some of the reactions in the crowd when that guy was giving his presentation. You know, but it's something to think about. You know, whether you agree with it or not. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, these employees, you know, it's just a different generation. You have to think about how to motivate each person. So, you know, it was interesting to see the reaction, but something to think about.
Yeah. Good. Any other insights as far as the contractors going, or what they cope with? I'm assuming, too, that between your site and similar sites and the manufacturers now, that they have got a number of YouTube videos as to who, where, and when. The content is out there. I don't know if manufacturers have always been Johnny come lately when it comes to technology. They're in the social media stuff now, but most of them they're not where they should be. But they're moving toward that way. But with all the content that they have, I'd imagine that the contractors that would be a great resource for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more information and more outlets for education is always a good thing. I know a lot of these manufacturers offer training and seminars at their locations and remotely. You go to trade shows. There's always tracks on. You name it, it's, you know, educational seminars that go on at these trade shows. So there's plenty of information and outlets to find this information. I mean, you go to our site and, you know, there's a whole bunch of case studies and news and how-to videos and things like that. But, you know, like you said, there's plenty of them out there. So there's no shortage of good information for contractors to find.
You're a good straight man for me, because my next question for you, when you talk about trade shows, and you mentioned it early on, a couple of big ones are coming up, AHR and the Kitchen and Bath Show, next month. So any insights on those shows?
I just wanted to kind of go over the two biggest shows in our industry, KBIS and IBS and AHR, which both happen in the same month. One is mid-month and one is toward the later of the month. But, you know, if you want to keep up on the trends and products and technology, you know, these two shows are kind of where it's at. Mm-hmm. The Kitchen and Bath and International Builder Show, they were at one point two separate shows, and they kind of competed with each other because they were kind of close in proximity and time proximity. So what they decided to do was 2 years ago kind of co-locate. A few years ago, they decided to co-locate the shows and have them together. And man, I'm telling you, that show is buzzing. From contractors to builders to you name it.
Yeah, right.
And this year it's I think it's January 10th to the 12th in Orlando this year. And then the AHR show, which is the heating and refrigeration, HVAC show, I always say it's the biggest show that I go to in you know, what I cover. And it's a can't-miss show, January 30th to February 1st in Las Vegas. I mean, two places, you know, Orlando, you can bring your family if you want, plenty of stuff to do with the kids. You know, Las Vegas is you know, always something fun to do there. So two different places are always fun to go to. But, you know, as far as what to do, I always just say have a plan. These shows are really big. They're really big. So, you know, if you think you're going to walk through it in one day, you're going to be mistaken. So, you know, have a plan, kind of research. They both have websites and floor plans and you know, seminar tracks and stuff like that. So kind of go in with a plan before you go and just know what you're going to do. You know, if you want to freelance the show, just make sure you have enough time. There's 3 days usually each. And maybe one hint would be to go on the last day. That's usually when it's the lightest attendance. and maybe you could get around the show quicker. But I always notice that the last day is always kind of the lightest in attendance, but, you know, might be advantageous for you to go during that last day.
Yeah.
And also, just wear comfortable shoes, I guess, because it's a big show. You'll be walking a lot. So,
Exactly. We are recording this show in December, right after the national elections, and I guess, Jared, we talk about them. How do you see the outcome affecting business, both short term and long term? What are the contracts? What are you hearing? I mean, it's been a month or so now. What are you hearing out there?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the new president, incoming president, may not be everyone's choice, but for me, you have to give him a chance to see what he can do, okay? Mm-hmm. There's all this unrest in the country right now, and, you know, the election results was not the way it wanted to go, but you just got to give him a chance to see if he can succeed, and if he succeeds, you know, then we all succeed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one thing that was just happening in the last couple of days was the company Carrier, which announced a few months ago that it was bringing all its labor and manufacturing into Mexico. And, you know, Trump's campaign was, you know, he's gonna penalize these companies that move offshore or move to Mexico. And so just, you know, yesterday, or the day before, you know, recently it was announced that, you know, Carrier is going to keep about 1,000 employees in Indiana. And so that was, you know, superficially it was a score for Trump, you know, of course, you know, keeping jobs back in the U.S. But, you know, I'd like to see the negotiations, you know, the incentive to stay with the rebates, tax things like that. But, you know, on the surface, it looks good, I guess.
Yeah, well, and again, how much of the incentives were state versus federal? Those are all things that have to be ironed out. But the stock market...
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's... Yeah. Go ahead, John.
The stock market seems to... Be reacting favorably. It's hit a couple new records, but any feedback from any of the contractors or mechanical firms?
I mean, I think for the most part it's positive. They're interested to see, you know, usually somebody who owns a business is interested to see how the business can flourish. And, you know, as Trump is a businessman, they're interested to see how he can help the economy and bring jobs, like I said, back to the U.S. and keep them here and kind of rebuild, the country. You know, one of the things he campaigned on was rebuilding the infrastructure or renovating it, which is interesting because I went to a seminar a couple months ago and there was a recent report card from the American Society of Civil Engineers that gave the U.S. infrastructure an overall D grade, which is probably more than it deserved. And more than 1.7 trillion gallons of treated water are lost to leaks in the infrastructure annually. That's with 16% of treated water never reaching the tap. And that's according to the U.S. Geological Survey. So... you know, things like that. You know, we never want to see another Flint, Michigan. You know, as tragic as it was, it did bring light to the problems that, you know, there's more than just one Flint across the U.S., and we just don't want to see that ever happen again.
Well, and all that water that's wasted, I'm sure the folks in Arizona and California would love to have that, or Vegas would love to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So,
and I would think from a business standpoint too that the contractors, if the tax rates do go down, which I'm sure they will, that's more money in their pocket too. So, it's
exactly. So, I guess it's a wait and see, and you know, give them a chance, and let's just not go crazy just yet. So,
no. Everything
will be fine.
I was going to say that we've survived all the other presidents since we were founded. So it's just a matter of giving the guy a chance and see what happens from there. So,
well, you know, we've become a society of, you know, just instant gratification, you know, and if you don't get your way, then you're going to let it be known. And that's kind of what's happening now. But I think that will kind of wane and just kind of, you know, it'll work itself out.
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful. Since again, being a businessman, I'm hopeful that if business flourishes, everybody flourishes. So,
and the
areas that you're in and that we're in, with tradespeople and contractors and building, it makes perfect sense. And again, we'll see what happens. So, well, I think we're running out of time here. I want to thank you for your great insights, and I'm glad that we got a chance to catch up.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, I strongly suggest if you don't or haven't been to mechanical-hub.com to go there. There's tons and tons of great, great information there. And if you want to contact John, if you want to contact John, his email is john@johnmesenbrink. And
my first initial J M E S E N B R I N K and mechanical-hub.com.
Okay, well, good. Thank you for correcting me. So, you can reach John that way, or again, please check out the Mechanical Hub website. It's a great thing. And John, again, thank you very much for your time today.
John, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for listening, and this concludes another edition of Marketing Insight.